This is Jeff Fry. I'm a retired IBM fellow and prior CTO of IBM's mainframe platform, and very much a mainframe enthusiast. Today, I'm very pleased to host the I Am a Mainframer conversation series in a conversation with my good friend, Len Santalucia from Vicom Infinity. This conversation is sponsored by the Open Mainframe Project. As a Linux Foundation collaborative project, the Open Mainframe Project is intended to help create a mainframe-focused, open-source technical community. It's also intended to serve as a focal point for the deployment and the use of enterprise Linux in a mainframe compute environment. The goal of the project is to excite the Linux community around the use of the mainframe and to foster collaboration across the mainframe community to develop and exploit shared Linux tool sets, resources, and services in a mainframe environment. In addition, the project seeks to involve the participation of academic institutions to help and assist creating educational programs aimed at developing the mainframe Linux engineers and developers of tomorrow. So, Len, it's such a pleasure to talk to you, my friend, today. I know we share the same passion for Linux on the mainframe. So to get started, Len, why don't you tell us a little bit about Vicom Infinity and the work you do?
Oh, my name is Len Santalucia, and I am the CTO and Business Development Manager for IBM Premier Business Partner by the name of Vicom Infinity. We are based out of New York City, and our work is all in and around the IBM mainframe. We are across all of its operating systems, and ZOS, Linux on Z, ZVM, KVM, ZVSE are the major areas where we focus, and we also deal with all of the hardware, Z systems hardware, as well as with the associated disk and tape and IBM software and open systems, open source software. We have been in business since the 90s, and we are considered in the top five IBM premier partners in the world. And I was part of the startup of this group, Jeff, way back when it first was starting, because I was still employed at IBM at the time. And like you, I retired after 30 plus years from IBM in 2008. And this company asked me to come on board to help them do the job I'm doing for them today. But back in the 90s, when it was just a one or two man operation, I was asked to help support them in the greater New York area. And they didn't forget some of the things I did for them. And when it came time to looking for something to do after retirement, they offered me the position. And it's been great because it's working with a different tier of customers. You know, IBM always handles the very larger customers. This group handles the next tier below, although we do have some very large customers that normally would fall into the tier level one of type customers. They're very large, but because of our proximity to New York, it just happens to be that way. So that's a little bit about the company. It's been doing very well and really focusing a lot around Linux and open source software quite a bit still today, even carrying forward my passion like you, Jeff, from our days at IBM.
Yeah, that's great, Len. You know, and I know some of that history, and I wasn't aware. I don't think we knew each other. We may not have known each other when you. I can't remember that if we knew each other when you were at IBM. I think we may have met after that, but I can't quite remember. But it's been a while. Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the projects you work on involving the use of the mainframe? You said, you know, I know especially in recent times, you've been very involved in the open side of this, and really very interested and involved in the Linux deployment and use of Linux on the mainframe. Can you tell us some of the projects you've been working on?
Yes, yes, I can. You know, back in the 1999-2000 timeframe, Linux was brand new to IBM, and it was an emerging business. I happened to be fortunate enough to been involved with it back when it was first starting out, and watching it evolve into what it has been today, especially on the mainframe side of the business, has been so great to experience. You know, first from starting from server consolidation and print serving and web serving, very simple things. Yeah. And today now, you know, it's gone to, you know, it's a great platform for blockchain because of its integrated cryptography and integrated vector processing capabilities for numerically intensive as well as transactional cryptographically enabled transactions. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, the new things with Docker, the new things with Chef, all these new technologies emerging have been just such a great natural fit to the mainframe's Linux environment that, and now Ubuntu from Canonical becoming available, yeah, to see that evolve into what it has, Jeff, and really placing it right in the middle of being a great platform for cloud and analytics with Spark. You know, this stuff is just absolutely amazing, and it's never ever been a better time to be enabling these kinds of workloads on the mainframe in its history. It's just a phenomenally architected platform compared to anything else that's available.
Yeah, you know, let's dig into that just a little bit, Len, because you know, you and I have been working on the evolution of Linux on the mainframe for quite some time, and I think, you know, the value proposition of the mainframe, Linux on the mainframe, had always been, you know, to take the open standard and open environment of the open software and that whole ecosystem that Linux represents and all the skills that come with it, and marry that to, arguably the most secure, robust, reliable piece of hardware in the industry. And, you know, I think your point about all of this stuff coming together and kind of coming of age together, I think not only has dramatic improvements in the mainframe's ability to host all of this Linux-based software and the open environment, but I think Linux has grown up too over time to be recognized now as an enterprise class platform, and it's kind of grown up in search of a platform that can deliver, you know, the right security and the right availability for enterprise computing. So I think you may be right. I think, you know, maybe the time has really come now where the marriage of these two notions is really come of age.
I totally agree with you, Jeff. You know, again, going back to that early stages where it was amazing to see a Linux operating system maybe handle, you know, 2 to 4 cores at a time and be able to manage them. And now, you know, it can run on hundreds of cores on the same processor and actually exploit its virtualization technology, either KVM open type of virtualization or the virtualization on the mainframe known as ZVM, which really exploits the architecture because they're both the ZVM and the hardware are co-developed in their special firmware or microcode, as it's called in the mainframe world, developed for this virtualization technology that just allows the Z system mainframe to run literally at 100% utilization at all times if you let it, and be able to handle so many diverse concurrent workloads simultaneously that you could never fathom doing that on any other architectures. You always have to leave some kind of headroom. You can never run it at full utilization like that. And you know this even better than I do, Jeff, having been the CTO of the actual hardware development. You know that system has so many levels of cache, and it can keep feeding that processor till it can run at that full 100% because of this design. It's just nothing else like it. And, you know what I'm saying, right? It's just amazing and these new workloads, you know, Docker, another one. Docker can run, several hundreds, and they've actually documented this now to the point where having 1 million Docker containers on a single mainframe, single Z mainframe, where are you going to find that anyplace else? So it's nowhere, you know?
Yeah. And, people can look at that, on the surface and say, well, okay, that's pretty impressive, but what's the value in that? Why can't I just have, multiple machines? Why can't I have, a kind of a huge scale out kind of environment? Well, there's always been a kind of a central value proposition, the mainframe built around economy of scale. And it's so good at sharing that the efficiency that you can get, which ultimately lowers complexity and lowers cost of the overall IT environment. It's just superior and second to none. So when you have an architect, when you have an architecture that is tailor-made, its purpose in life is to be able to run lots of work concurrently and share those resources very efficiently, then you couple that with historic, superior levels of virtualization built right into the hardware. There's another aspect of, why it's just so well suited for a Linux environment, so well suited for Linux and a cloud environment and a highly virtualized environment. I'm really hoping that people really start to really appreciate the value proposition of this platform in the open environment.
I totally agree. There are tools to help customers actually see the value of it specifically for their environment that enable folks like myself to gather statistics from where they might be running it today and showing what value it can bring in doing it on the Z. Just recently, Jeff, for one of the financial customers on Wall Street, known them for days when I was a kid SE on the street, supporting them, they asked us to look at their database environments and what it can mean in saving, because they're really running out of floor space, power, and cooling, and that kind of stuff's pretty scarce on the streets of Manhattan and the surrounding community, and it's very costly. So when they heard, after doing this analysis, that they could actually consolidate 39-1. Well, know what I mean by that? 39 cores of what they're running today in their x86 environment down to one core on mainframe, which we affectionately call an integrated facility for Linux, IFL. They were just totally blown away. But it helped them further consolidate where they were on x86, so they found some errors of their ways. But still, even after they did some of that consolidation, they still could get to, you know, 30-ish, high 20-ish per cores per one IFL core on the mainframe. It still was a very great story. And then Everything else that falls into place, the power, the cooling, the floor space, the software licenses, the networking that's eliminated because it's all communicating in the same system. You know, the integrated, one of the largest police forces in the nation is one of our customers, and they consolidated, and it wasn't the consolidation of the cores that made the difference as much as it, when it got rid of the network, because the network could be inside the mainframe virtually, they were able to eliminate all those connection points and routers that go along with it, all areas for failure points, you know. And it just made their arrest system and their court system so much more effective and efficient that it's always available.
Yeah, not only you know, points of failure, but points of vulnerability in terms of security systems as well.
Oh,
you know, there's just all kinds of advantage to that. You know, you said 39 to 1. You know, I don't want the listeners to get the impression that, you know, to leave with, you know, us claiming that, you know, these mainframe cores are 39 times more powerful than an Intel core. It's really about the overall system design. You know, the reason you can,
absolutely,
we can achieve those levels of consolidation is not because necessarily that the cores are that much faster, but because we do, as you mentioned, such a good job at sharing resources and caching and doing memory management and managing working sets and paging and, you know, the I/O system of a system Z and how parallelized that I/O structure is and how offloaded the I/O is off of the central processing units. It's all about, you know, the overall system design of a mainframe. It's just built to do that kind of work. It's almost as if, you know, it runs better, you know, the more work you put on it, the better it runs. And that's why people, you know, are surprised when you find that you can do this kind of consolidation and get these kinds of efficiencies.
That's true. You know, a claim like 39 to 1 is definitely not the norm, but it's not too far-fetched to see 20 and 25 to 1 on the average. That's why, you know, we always perform an analysis that really works with the exact numbers that the client gives us, so we can definitely tell them, specific to them. The reason why I think it was so different with this large number here with 39 to 1 is they had designed a system where they, because of the availability issues that they had, many servers were just remaining on idle just to be there in case they were needed. So, you know, when you have that kind of idle time, it can inflate the number to something like 39 to 1. But when they did some of that homework I was talking about before, where they readjusted things and found out, hey, they could maybe not have so many idles, it still turned out to be in the high 20s to 1, no matter what they tried to do to save their or correct the error of their ways, as I mentioned. So it's nothing beats a good study to do the homework and make sure the real numbers are looked at. But look at the numbers about, I just mentioned a moment ago, it's, you know, Docker images, a million on one machine, you know, I mean, my God, it's, that you can't argue about that. And that was no consolidation, you know, that's just really pumping them up, and you know, they really were running them. And and then when you couple that with the kind of disk storage you can have on the mainframe and its I/O capability, the separate I/O subsystem just brings so much to the table for when you do things like database serving compared to the other platforms that don't have that kind of underlying subsystem for I/O. They have to do I/O and the application all in the same processor. The mainframe has another value add, is it's multiple subsystems for I/O and applications and math and, you know, all different kinds of functions.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I said that, you know, when I was, when I would talk to customers about the mainframe and tell them that there were, you know, there were literally hundreds more processors in the box than they had imagined, because there are hundreds of processors dedicated just to doing I/O.
Yes. Yes.
You know, So I think, yeah, let me move on here, Len. I know this has been great, but I'm fearful that we might be running out of time. You serve as the chairperson of the Open Mainframe Project Governing Board. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. I'm going on the second year of doing that, and it's been very exciting. When I was selected and voted in, I was very nicely surprised that I had that kind of support from the team, and I really enjoyed doing it because I think that the Open Mainframe Project is a very powerful organization, especially since it is run by the Linux Foundation, which is the home of the inventor of Linux himself, Linus, if you think about that. You know, there are many times I tell customers, you know, you get a person maybe like me who has all this passion, and you know, I come in and I talk to them and to their groups outside the mainframe in their organization, and you know, you can tell that some people are looking at you like they don't believe you, or they're testing you, or what have you. But if you bring an organization like the Open Mainframe Project into the same discussion, things change. You know, Jeff, you and I both have kids. You know, sometimes when you talk to your kids, sometimes you can talk to them, pardon the pun, till you're blue in the face, and they don't listen. But maybe you have your brother or your sister or grandfather, talk to them. They say the exact same thing, but for some reason or other, they listen to them. And, you know, it's the old saying, it takes a village, right? And
yeah,
if you leverage something like the Open Mainframe Project, which is, you know, based on the Linux Foundation premise, and they're saying the same thing as you do, it's really pretty magical what I see happening. You know, it really furthers the cause of Linux and open source software better than anything else I've seen, especially at this stage of the game of how, you know, mature Linux is on the platform, and open source on the platform. But now the remaining people who are, you know, that dug their heels in and have resisted up until now, they're the toughest ones. And if you leverage something like this Open Mainframe Project to come in and talk on behalf of yourself or anybody else, they're going to carry much more weight and credibility than anything else that's been done before. What's great is to look, you know, Linux Foundation people are very nice about helping out, all the way up to the first lieutenants reporting right into Linus himself. They've been very, very helpful. So we should let people know this more and more. These are the kind of things I think we as members of the Linux Foundation open mainframe project need to convey to everyone on how to leverage it and to its, to their advantage.
Great. So Lynn, what do you, let me close with a little bit of a provocative, question for you. What do you think are the biggest challenges for the mainframe going forward? You and I, we've had history with this thing, but, so if we look into the future, what challenges remain and what do you think the biggest challenges are?
It's really more nothing to do. I'll put it this way. Let me say it this way. It has nothing to do with the technology, because if people look at the technology and understand it, they're going to say, wow, this thing's pretty powerful. But then they're going to say on the other side of their mouth, especially those that are the naysayers, well, but it's still a mainframe. And people equate the mainframe as a more costly platform, which is just not true when you take into the total cost of operation. And the other thing that it has a challenge with, especially today, is you and I use our cell phones, our iPhones, our Droids, all of our smartphones and tablets to access just about anything and everything. And, the people that are coming up through the ranks today knew or don't even get a chance to see the mainframe because, as I tell students when I'm talking through the IBM Academic Initiative to a lot of these colleges these days, it's the mainframe's invisible to you. That's the word I say. It's invisible. When I tell them, I ask them very simple questions, and it hits them right between the eyes. Did any of you go to an ATM this morning or this afternoon, if I'm there in the morning or what have you at the school? They say, oh, yeah. I said, what was the name of the bank? Some of them say Wells Fargo. Some of them say Citi. Some of them say other J.P. Morgan, Chase, And I say, well, you just used the mainframe. Nah, is their comment. And I go, yes, you did. Didn't even know it. Did any of you make a reservation for a trip to go home to see your family on spring break? What airline did you use? And every one of them that, named airlines that had, mainframes behind the scenes, they didn't realize that.
Yep.
Insurance claims, that they made. Any of you have a car accident? Do you use Geico? And they have a mainframe behind the scenes. Once they started getting that, and I said, and then they start understanding what the career potential is and the challenges are compared to just writing, these apps that you touch and, it does a little something on your phone.
Yeah.
And they say, wow, this could be a heck of a career, and the kind of money that they hear that they can make. Those, the long answer to a very simple question is the challenges are making it visible as opposed to invisible, and showing the true value that beyond the myths. And they're still, believe it or not, people that think about the mainframe as it was pictured in some of the old time movies because they haven't seen it anywhere else. And those are really some of the key things. Otherwise, there isn't anything that it can't run. It can run. Anything that runs on Linux can run on it. And then the ISVs that are dragging their heels, that are not making their software yet available on Linux on the mainframe as opposed to the Linux on x86 because they don't know better or they don't have access to it. Now IBM's done a great job there by making a Linux One cloud available to anybody in the world that wants to try and or develop on it. at no charge. And so a lot of things are being done a lot differently. There were back in when we were first starting out, you never would have gotten access to a mainframe for free. You know that. Now look what you can do. You know, so all these things, it's going to change, and it's going to change for the better. It's that you have to have patience and persistence and perseverance, and it's already very obvious how great it has advanced. And just these last couple of years with the Linux Foundation doing its small part. Hope I answered your question. I know it was a long answer.
No, you did. You covered a lot there. You know, I know that perception has been historically kind of a problem here. The invisibility is a good way to put that. You know, access has been a problem in the past. You know, and as you point out, a lot of these problems are being worked, and a lot of these obstacles are being removed. I think the other thing is, you know, you mentioned, you know, that if people see opportunity in working in this environment because the companies value, right, what the mainframe brings, you know, there's this tension between, you know, high volume and premier quality of service and value. And, you know, I think that the more it's recognized that, you know, the mainframe, you know, is basically the IT backbone of a lot of, the economies of the world, and it's dependent upon, right, to run the world in terms of its commerce. That people might, there's value in that, and if you have skills in that, and if you can contribute to that, it's got to be you know, worthy of reward in terms of your career, in terms of the opportunity that it provides.
Well, you know, put it in a very simple way. Turn off Google today, the world would keep on going. People would be mad that they have to go to a library again instead of going to a terminal or their iPhone to look something up, but they still could find the information some way, somehow. You turn off the mainframes, the world would come to a complete screeching halt. It'd be utter chaos. People couldn't get their access to their bank accounts. People, planes would come crashing into the ground. It'd just be a disaster. The world could come to almost a complete end. That's how everybody depends on mainframes. And it's an analogy that people should think about very closely.
Yeah. Well, Len, my friend, it's been great talking with you. I think we've covered what we needed to cover. I really appreciate you being on the call, and you know, I'll look forward to seeing you in one of our upcoming meetings.
Yeah, same here, Jeff. And special thanks to our sponsor, the Linux Foundation, and Serena, especially for getting us together here today. Very much appreciated. I always enjoy this conversation. I know we had a short period of time, but I could talk about this for a long time. So it's my passion, and hopefully it passes on to others. I know it's your passion, Jeff. You passed that passion on to me back in your days at IBM. So it was very catchy.
Well, thank you, Len, and it's been my pleasure. So, well, I'll see you soon, my friend.
Yes, take care, Jeff. We'll see you at the next meeting. Take care. Bye, everybody.
Bye, bye.